Coming to you from Long Island Podcast Studios in Belmore, New York, this is Nothing Ventured, Nothing Gained, a live play podcast about 2nd Edition Pathfinder, along with multiple different other games that we'll get into, but mostly Pathfinder 2nd Edition. I am your DM, Jared. Next to me is Trevor.
Hi, everybody.
And we have Tina.
Hello.
And Steve.
Yo.
Today we will be going over character creation. 2nd Edition has been out for a little over a week now, about 2 weeks, getting into the two-week marker. And I'm sure many players are out there trying to make characters, come up with really interesting concepts. And we're just going to go over some basic rules. It's going to be a short podcast compared to our actual live plays. Why don't we start talking about what we're going to start building? In character creation, it is known as your ABCs, your ancestry, background, class. That's how you build your character. So let's go around the room. We'll start with Trevor.
Hey,
so what is your A?
My A, I'm actually doing it a little bit different. Okay. I am going to be rolling completely random character up. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I listed out the 6 of the ancestries from dwarf, elf, gnome, goblin, halfling, and human. And I'm going to be rolling a D6, and I assign them a number. So whatever I roll out will be what I'm going to be picking for my ancestry. And I got a 3. So I will be doing a gnome.
A gnome.
Again.
So different.
So different from what I always play.
Next up, we'll go over to Tina. What were you thinking about playing?
I was going to do halfling.
Halfling. Sticking to the short people.
Like yeah. Dwarf. Kind of thinking of redoing my character from first edition, just like kind of compare notes.
Okay, cool.
So
okay.
We're making Bailey.
Nice. I loved Bailey. Are you going to get the mount? The big...
We'll see. Yeah.
Beethoven. Cool. And Steve?
See, I'm actually remaking an old Dungeons & Dragons character I had, a maid dwarf.
A dwarf?
Yep.
So your ancestry is a dwarf?
So we're Team Short Stack again.
Yes.
Yes.
No one can ride any roller coasters at Six Flags.
Nope. But we can still go on the kiddie rides, so we're good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you guys could get them for like half price.
There you go.
Yes.
Get away with I mean, especially you two, you would look like kids. He would look like just Danny DeVito. After that, we're going to now talk about, so we went over our A's, the ancestries, the B, the backgrounds. Trevor, obviously you're rolling.
Yes.
So let's stick with that. There's a lot of background, so I'm just going to assume you're just going to kind of throw a dart or something here.
I was actually going to skip ahead to do my class, but I will, I can always just look it up really quick and see how many backgrounds there are.
There's a lot.
And do a quick count, and then I'll roll it randomly.
Sure. So we'll move on to Tina. Who's not rolling. So, Tina, what were you thinking as a background?
Barkeep.
Barkeep makes perfect sense. You will talk about Bailey after this.
Oh, absolutely.
As to why that all makes sense. And Steve?
I'm going to pick an artisan.
An artisan. Okay, so you're making breads? You're going to work at Panera?
Oh, an artisan could be anything from someone like a tailor or a baker or a blacksmith.
So there are 35 backgrounds.
Oh, okay, so we were going to roll out a D100.
I'm going to roll a D100, and I'm going to basically just divide it by 3.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Get a rough idea.
If Jeff was here, we could have used his D30.
And that just would, yeah.
Rolled he a does D. have it.
Yeah, he does, so we could have did it.
74. So let's figure that out.
Yeah, so basic math.
So I'm going to go with 24.
24.
So I'll go with 24th on the list.
So we're going to scroll down to 24.
A martial disciple.
Oh, so you're going to be a martial disciple. You have your guard, you have your warrior, and then martial disciple, I feel like it's something like you would see from like the old David Carradine Kung Fu movies.
Kung Fu, The Legend Continues.
Yeah, Kung Fu, The Legend Continues. Great movie, great TV show. Used to watch that with my dad. And so we have that. So now we're going to go on to the C, and that's class. So let's pick up with Trevor, who prepped that part.
I did prep that part. That's a D12, so if everyone doesn't know what the classes are, I'm going to read them quickly to you so that way you have them all listed. Alchemist, Barbarian, Bard, Champion, Cleric, Druid, Fighter, Monk, Ranger, Rogue, Sorcerer, and Wizard. Mm-hmm. So let's see what we roll on this one. And if it's a Sorcerer, I'm going to re-roll it.
All right.
It had to be 11.
Of course.
Right,
a gnome sorcerer.
Yeah, re-roll sorcerer.
All right, I'm going to re-roll that one. And that is a 6. So a druid.
Oh, so Keiko.
Yes, Keiko is a gnome druid. So who is a fighter? Interesting. interesting take on that.
We'll get there.
She's got a sibling now.
Yeah. Yes. Tina?
These are NPCs that are going to show up later, aren't they?
They're 100% showing up. You're standing out your rivals at this point.
Yep.
So, Tina, what will you
It would be champion, and since they changed paladin over to champion.
And monk for Steve.
Monk? Yeah. Nice. I like champion. Again, I'm a big fan of champion. Monk I love because the focus point stuff, especially like champion, sorcerer, well, druid, and monk, they give you focus points, but focus points aren't based on any core stat. Mm-hmm. And originally, monk had that core stat wisdom, so you had to go dex wisdom for your AC, or in the original ones, in unarmed combat. And same thing with champion, you always had high charisma for all your weird paladin-y stuff. But now you could just dump charisma. You could be like, oh, I don't have any charisma. I'm just Judge Dredd. I am the law. So, that's out the way. That's your ABCs. Now we're going to go on to the types of how you can build your character.
Yes.
So, your stat array. So, you have your basic stat array, which comes with the game. Everything starts at 10. Mm-hmm. You get bonuses for class. So, for Tina, I believe a halfling gets a bonus to constitution and to dexterity, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. I always get those confused with the goblin and the gnome.
Dex, wisdom, and then one free boost.
Dex and wisdom, that's right. And the gnome is the...
Whoops. Sorry. Constitution, charisma, and free one.
Constitution is gnome, yeah.
Yep. And all of these are right in the beginning of the book. It was well set. The book was set out really well. Have your classes, your races, your classes, your ancestries. It's not a race anymore. And your backgrounds are all right there. It's very quick. And Steve, dwarfs are wisdom and con.
And constitution, yes.
Yeah, and all these classes actually get negatives. They did keep that over from second edition, from first edition into second edition. So our negative for a gnome is strength. Our negative for a halfling is strength. And our negative for a dwarf is charisma.
Yes.
I like playing dwarves. I know that. So we're actually going to do multiple different types of stat building. Trevor decided he's going to roll. That's an optional rule in the book. He started rolling his characters. He's doing everything based on the gods of luck. And Tina, you're going to do the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve is going to do the standard, but I feel like he will probably dip into moving, doing the voluntary flaws and showing everyone how that's done.
Okay, I can do that.
So when you roll, I guess that's the weirdest one, rolling. So normally when you roll, you'll roll 4d6. Drop the lowest number, write them down, and just kind of put them where you feel you would need them.
Yes.
I'm super excited to see the new classes coming out in October. The Witch, the Investigator, the Oracle.
And the Swashbuckler.
And the Swat, that was it, the Swashbuckler, which seems like a really cool concept.
Yeah, I might want to dip in and play a Swashbuckler.
Swashbuckler, yeah. I feel like the playtest is going to come out, everyone's like, so all of our characters are just dead. Now all dead.
Pirates.
Dead. Now all pirates.
We're all pirates.
So, Tina, you're doing the 10.
Yep.
So normally, Tina, you get all your 10s.
Yep.
Except you get the plus 2 starting in those two stats.
Dex and Wiz. Mm-hmm.
And the minus 2 in...
Strength.
So
and I have one free boost that I can...
You can put anywhere.
Put anywhere.
Exactly. The free boost can go anywhere you want. It can go into that negative to turn it back to a 10. You could put it into dex to... No, actually, you can't.
No, you... Yeah.
You can't.
You can't
put it into, somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, it can't go into any of the stat bumps.
Yeah, you can't go into a positive, but it can go into a negative.
Yes, that's true. And if you are a human, you actually get two free. The one race ancestry that no one played, the human, you can actually just put plus twos in anything. They don't start with any negatives anywhere.
We also didn't talk about elves.
Oh, and elves are just fancy pantses, and they get a minus two their con. They get a plus to int and dex.
And one free.
And one free. And goblins get charisma and dex, I believe. And a minus to wisdom.
Yeah, they get an ability boost to dexterity, charisma, and a free, and a minus to ability flaw for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rolling while they are chatting, and I'm actually rolling really well.
So what was your first roll?
It was a 14.
And your second roll?
A 14.
And your third roll?
A 13.
Your fourth roll?
A 13.
And your fifth roll?
11.
And the last roll is? Come on, 16, right?
Now you got to do two more.
His dice are loaded.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Those are all loaded.
A 13?
I call shenanigans.
Yeah, I'm calling shenanigans.
You need to bring those dice.
I know. Why can't I roll with these normally?
You need to roll those for fireballs.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, there you go. There's another one. You jinxed
a 5. And a 4.
So it's a 10.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's actually really good for rolling randoms.
So talking about the rolling for stats variant rule, when you do roll for stats, you do are rolling 4d6 and dropping the lowest die. You also, when you're applying your racial ability boosts, you get one less free boost doing it this way.
Which you don't really need because these are really good numbers. So
That's
the benefit. Or if you are rolling and you have really good rolls, that's great. If you roll and get really bad rolls, you know, that's the luck of the die. But I think it's more fun this way, as long as you're legitimately rolling it. Some people I've seen, I have all 16s, and it's like, how did you roll the odds of that happening? But this is a pretty average – actually, these are really great set of rolling stats. Unfortunately, this isn't for a real character. I have to save it for later.
Yeah. Oh, my character's dead. Tina, so why don't we move on to our backgrounds. Backgrounds do give you bonuses.
Yep.
So they normally give you two bonuses, one free – floating, and one that can be a choice of two different stats.
Yes.
So for your most part. Background as a barkeep, I believe it's charisma.
Yeah, let me just pull that up.
What you're going to hear is everyone flipping because we're the cool kids and we all have books, and I love their books. Their design on
the
cover.
They're so pretty.
They are so, they're just beautiful
Page
artwork.
60, by the way.
Yeah. There we go. You have 5 specialties, hefting barrels, drinking, polishing steins, drinking, and drinking. I like this one.
Yeah, that's...
One must be constitution or charisma. The other one's a free one. You're trained in diplomacy, have the alcohol lore skill, and you gain hobnobbler skill feat.
I feel that Balin should have the alcohol lore skill.
You could pick that up as a free skill.
Might have to spend a feat on that.
I'm just saying.
Okay. So, one's con or charisma, and then another free ability.
So, which one are you going to take?
Probably constitution. I kind of need that.
Yep.
I'm tiny.
And all the alcohol.
Yes. It would be bad if she's a barkeep and she can't hold her own. So.
No. Especially, like, I'm assuming kind of a pretty halfling here. She would be getting those free shots that, you know, the guys always buy her. I'm just saying. It makes logical sense. We've all gone to bars and decided to ask the bartender to do shots with us. I feel like they just throw it away. They're just like, cheers.
Some watered down stuff.
Yeah. And Steve, what are we looking at?
Yeah, I picked artisan.
Mm-hmm.
So as an apprentice, you practice a particular form of building or crafting, developing specialized skills. You might have been a blacksmith, apprentice toiling over a forge for countless hours, a young tailor sewing garments. That's not me. or shipwright by building ships. So one is a free ability, and the other is either strength or intelligence, which lets you go into different directions. You're either doing the physical manual labor or you're doing something that requires some forethought.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to strength.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised it wasn't strength or dex, and I know Marshall Disciple gets that option as like a strength or dex option.
Yes.
But I'm surprised because they talk about tailoring and stuff like that, and I feel like that's a dexterous thing. But you are right, like you can be... you have to be smart, right? You have to understand math when it comes to tailoring or building or anything. Math always.
Or even just order of operations, like knowing how to put this together before you put that together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Going back to artisan, one thing I forgot to mention is I get trained in the crafting skill and the guild lore skill, and I get a feat called specialty crafting.
That's really cool that they give you so many options, because you get crafting, which is super useful now, especially during downtime. I feel like especially all the skills now have a place. I remember in first edition and those skills that you never really needed. Like, you always needed, like, spot and hide and listen. Those were always important.
This is back in the 3-5 days.
The 3-5 days, yeah. But a lot of people never played into, like, those crafting skills because you never really crafted. There was always, I'm just going to buy it from a wizard. Or
even in Pathfinder, where Pathfinder First Edition really tried to correct a lot of the extra erroneous rules that were super complicated, that even people who love rule systems are like, I'm not dealing with that. Mm-hmm. They really tried to clean a lot of that stuff up. Crafting is one of the things where, like, we don't know what to do with it, so it's this horrible system.
Yeah.
They, in this one, they really improved the tutorial. It makes sense where, on your downtime, you can make things that are very useful, and it doesn't take a physicist and a chemist to figure out how to roll the dice and get your items made. And it doesn't take you 4 months for your character to make an alchemist fire potion.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, a ton of gold. I just remember, like, there was, like, a small, basic, like, algebraic equation to, like, how much gold you needed versus how much resources.
Versus how many days it took.
Yeah, it was very crazy. I like this because, additionally, you can turn your character, a crafter, and this is something, like, Bailey would look into, is the quick repair feat. I think I'm saying that feat exactly not right. But if you're in, it was just on the forums, I was perusing the forums, and someone was saying, like, is it feasible for a champion or a fighter in combat to suddenly fix their shield, because that's the quick repair stuff? And they were like, yeah, if you're master or higher, you turn into one action. So yeah, like the shield block and stuff like that, and that will come up in the live play. You'll see how it's worked. But shields break. That's very common. Shields break, armor breaks now. And having that feat as a fighter or as a paladin or a frontline person, you can really constantly keep using your shield, and then on my next turn I'm gonna, like, duck behind the corner, you know, just kinda hammer some nails into it and hope it still stays for the next 5 fights. Which I think is really dope, because it makes your character seem really interesting. As, like, I could see, like, Bailey, like, in the middle of a fight, like, sweating it out, like, she's just, like, holding her ground against, like, this ginormous, because she's a halfling, so everything's ginormous, dragon, and her shield breaks, and then she's like, ah, I need, like, 5 seconds, and she takes her turn, because every turn is 6 seconds, and she just fixes her shield while everyone's handling the dragon, and she's, like, back in the mix, like, pounding the dragon. I think that would, like, that's very interesting and really cool, and DMs can play with that, especially if that's kind of your style, and I feel like that's our style. Like, it's very
roleplay. And it's interesting for roleplay, too, because then you have to find materials to do that with. You can't just, like, I don't have anything to fix this with, but it's magically fixed now. Like, you still do have to go find something to work with, so.
Exactly, and even in the book, you can look, and there's, like, dark wood. Mm-hmm. I believe it's, like, ironwood or something. Mm-hmm. Adamantite, mithril, and stuff like that. And that gives you options as a DM and as a player to have those roleplay sessions. Like, okay, we're going to hang out with these dwarf miners, and she's got the alcohol lore skill, so she's going to, like, be like, hey, listen, I'm going to make you some, like, really good whiskey if you trade me, like, a barrel of mithril.
You're just traveling, just, like, keeping an eye out for, you know, just random pieces of metal or whatever that's on the ground. Or
yeah, exactly.
And I feel like... opportunities, yeah.
Yeah, it's just an amazing opportunity with downtime. I know we kind of, like, reared off. We were doing character creation, talking about downtime stuff. But it was actually giving time for Trevor to start statting his stuff out.
It's a very complicated statting system now.
Yes. So in the playtest, I actually learned a very quick way, and I used this to teach Trevor and Tina and then Steve when he joined up. I used a lot of pluses and minuses. So for every plus, it was +2.
Yes.
And for every minus, it was -2. Now, when you're starting to make a character, you can't go below 8. In character creation. Outside of character creation, DM could be a jerk, hit you with, like, a hag, and she just drops you to, like, a 6 in intelligence, and now your character can't craft anything.
Hmm.
Trevor, what do your stats look like right now? I know you... I saw
pretty
you...
awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure you're looking kind of crazy.
Yeah, so I had rolled the 14, 14, 13, 13, 11, and 13, so it was, like, really pretty great stats. So with the gnome, you have to take a negative in strength. So what I did was I put at my martial disciple, I do get a boost into strength or dexterity. So I canceled out that. I put the 13 in there, so I'm left with a 13 strength.
Dope.
And then you get a bonus to constitution from my race. So I put a 14 into that, so I have a 16 constitution. Wisdom is my key modifier for the druid class. So I gave that a 14. I used one of my free points to increase that to 16. And then from Martial Disciple, I added another 2 points to get an 18 for that.
Okay. And that's really important, because an 18 at character creation, as we all know, now you will learn. Is the max. You can't go higher than an 18 starting. As you continue and you level, you do get skills to add. At 18, it takes 2 to go to 19, and every 2 up. Before 18, so if you have a 16, you can go to an 18 when you get that ability boost. But once you hit 18, next time you get an ability boost, the plus 2 is needed to go up to a 19 and then to a 20.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of just to slow them down.
In the first edition, you got more spells based on what your modifier was, and now it's just a straight up flat spell, a number of spells per day. Used to be better. Like, it used to be like, oh, I need to get my charisma or my intelligence to the max as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. But now you don't have to do that because you have a set list of spells per day that you have or that you can prepare, depending mm-hmm. on which field you went.
As the two casters here, Tina and Trevor, how do you feel about that? Would you want that option to, like, be like, hey, I would like to get that
plus? I mean, it's nice because you can kind of, like, dip into other skills a little bit more and kind of build up. Like, there's certain, like, especially for this with the champion, you have a choice. You can either go based in strength or dex, so you have an option to do either or. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you don't have to, you know, if you want to change partway through and do, like, a strength-based weapon as opposed to a dex-based weapon, you can kind of do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put everything into one. You can kind of balance the two out if you want.
I like that.
And one benefit also is that they did increase the cantrips and they made them more useful. Mm-hmm. So so you're not just like, oh man, I only have these three spells that I can cast and then I'm useless. Where now the cantrips are actually useful and you can cast them over and over. And they also increase with level for free, so they get heightened as you get higher levels. Your cantrips are already automatically heightened to half your level. So.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that about the cantrips.
Yeah, they get stronger. As you get stronger, they get stronger so that way they're not useless. And again, it makes it so much better if you don't have 75 spell slots to cast because you have a really high modifier. So that's really what's the benefit of the cantrips now.
And right now those cantrips are key at low levels because you only start with 2 level 1s. I think we're level 2 right now, so we get 3.
Yeah, I have 4 as a sorcerer. So.
And like, I know where we're playing at in our playthrough right now, like 2 of mine are already gone. So,
yeah.
Cantrips all day.
That's it.
Cantrips.
That's the other interesting thing with focus spells. It bridges some of that gap mm-hmm. as well, because there are ways of refocusing to get those focus points.
Yeah, regaining that point back is definitely helpful.
People were complaining on the thing saying that spellcasters were not as good as the martial characters now. Mm-hmm. But I feel that if you balance out your character and you pick out the good cantrips, you can be as, you're still not going to be as great as a barbarian who's just swinging, crazy, but you can still do damage as a caster at a low level. It's just a matter of preparing things properly and picking out the right spells.
Also being more of a support player too, you don't necessarily have to be the one dealing damage all the time. You can be, when you were a bard, our playthrough campaign, you did a lot of supporting and that helped the martial characters out a lot.
Yeah, I actually took pride in the fact that I helped the barbarian destroy things because of my abilities and the buffs that I was giving out. So I was like, okay, well, she couldn't do 4 attacks if it wasn't for me. So, mm-hmm. and then later on, 5 attacks because of
the
super bard haste that allowed them to do that, which I haven't checked and see if they kept that along for after 2 second edition.
I've just been ignoring it and hoping you guys haven't looked into it.
It's an abuse of the system. You can technically really abuse things if you do it properly, if you have a good team that works together, because it's really about teamwork, and a lot of people don't do that. So I noticed in some of like the game stores where they have people just coming together, a lot of the people are not working as a team, mm-hmm. and that's why they don't succeed. You have a lot of TBKs because people don't want to work as a team. And I know that some characters are made that way to not really work, but if you're in a game environment, you're supposed to have fun. And I don't know, to me, a TPK would not be fun. So I've never actually experienced one.
I mean, unless you guys all want to re-roll into those new playtest classes, we can make that happen.
But, with these stats, I would.
Yeah, I mean, with these stats, yeah, everyone would. You keep those all day.
When push comes to shove, this game in almost any RPG is designed to be a cooperative experience. And it's not even a corporate experience of players versus the DM. It's a corporate experience of everybody to try to tell a really cool story.
Mm-hmm. So getting back to character creation, we got a little tangent, but it's cool.
Yay, tangent.
Yes.
We're always like that.
Yeah. So now we're going to go into class. Yes. So we got the A's, ancestry. We got the B's. We got the background. And now C for class.
Class.
So looking at you, Tina, because I really want to see where you're going with this character. Champion.
Yep.
So do your classes give you any abilities or stat bumps? So when you look at your when you look at your sheet, it's going to say key ability.
Yeah, so it's strength or dex.
So what,
you have that option.
So what would they be?
Well, considering as a halfling, she has a negative 2 on strength, I think we're going dex.
You're going to go strength? You're just going to hold that negative down?
For a little bit.
Awesome. So,
but that again, I mean, you know, for character creation, it's a good growth opportunity, too. Like, you know, if you have someone in your party who's really strong, that can be an ability that you build up over time.
So you get to add that plus 2
Yep.
to dexterity. And now she gets the additional 4 free.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That everyone forgets about, except
that's gonna be interesting.
Trevor. Trevor's not cool enough for that.
So, I don't need it. I mean, right now I didn't even get those pluses yet. I have a 13, a 13, an 18, a 13, an 18, and a 13.
You don't need any
free abilities.
So I don't really need any. I mean, compared to some of the other characters, that if you're taking flaws, I mean, you really, this character is just against most. You wouldn't normally have a character like this.
No, definitely not.
So you wouldn't be starting out with so many high stats. I just happen to have really good luck. Which means that on the game day, I'm going to have really bad luck all day.
It's going to be terrible.
It's going to be all ones.
Yeah, all ones. So, Tina and everyone. So, at this point in character creation, you've done, you're kind of at the end, you're building, finishing out your numbers, and you have 4 free bumps.
Yep.
Or 4 free pluses that kind of float around that you could add anywhere you want on your character sheet. Which I feel is kind of awesome because that's how you get, you kind of see where your character is focusing, or you could kind of like even out stats. So I make a, when I make humans, I kind of even everything out. You wind up having like plus 14. You have a 14, you have a 14, a 16, and like a main stat, and then like another 14 somewhere floating around. Except Trevor. Trevor's not floating. So where would you place those 4 floating?
Probably because I haven't touched anything with my charisma, so probably at least 1 in charisma. You can't add more than 1 in the same one. They have to be 4 separate ones, right?
Exactly.
Yep. Okay.
So you can't dump all 4 into charisma and be like, ah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And they're all 4 plus 2s. They're not plus 1s or anything like
that. Yeah, and that rule applies to any time you're applying for your ancestry, you apply all of those together. For my dwarf, I get constitution, wisdom, and a free one. That free one can't be constitution or wisdom.
Yes.
If I'm getting one from my background, it's strength or intelligence and a free one. I can't put it in whichever
one
I put.
Yeah, you can't double up on strength.
But you can cross over from... your racial bonuses versus your background bonuses versus your class bonuses.
Yes. You can never double stack in the same
source.
Bracket, yeah, or source.
Okay, so I think I'm going to do charisma, intelligence. We're going to boost up the con a little bit and then probably try and just even out strength.
To that plus 10.
Yeah.
Which is a 0.
So she's at least, like, competent.
Yeah, she knows how to handle a sword.
Yeah.
So... Trevor.
Yes, sir.
Trevor does not get plus 4 free bumps as a rolled character. He actually, in the variant rules, he only gets 3 free bumps.
Yes.
Because he's terrible and his character is broken as all heck.
It's already broken.
It's just broken. So characters like these, you kind of want to play more of a homebrew. I feel like if you're playing these in a AP, the DM's going to have to... kind of ramp things up a little bit, because with stats like these, if everyone's coming to the table, you're kind of just running through characters.
15 strength, 15 dex, 18 con, 15 int, 18 wisdom, and 13 charisma.
Yeah, and then with stuff like that, you're going to...
throw it off balance.
Yeah, you're going to throw it off balance. Even looking at that, you're kind of... the everything.
This is one badass gnome druid.
Yeah.
I would definitely not want to cut down a tree in front of him.
So just to clarify, because this is the first time we're looking at the rolled rules. Step 1 is rolling all your stats, which you did. Then you apply your ancestry-based bonuses and flaws, and you apply all your flaws. And then you can apply all your bonuses, except you get 1 less free. And then you apply only 1 of your background bonuses.
Oh.
And you don't get the plus 4. The 4 at the end.
Oh, he doesn't get the 4.
I don't think so.
I thought you get the 3 free.
Double check it out.
It says if your character ancestry has any flaws, apply those. Apply 1 free ability score from your ability score specific to your character's background. You do not get the other free ability boost. So you have to pick the one that's stat limited.
That's kind of how they balanced it. Except cheating, Trevor.
And then you can't raise a score above 18. you can't, if you had it for some reason, if you had a 17, an odd number, mm-hmm. and you had and you gave it a plus 2 for 17,
it just stops at 18.
You just lose the extra.
Yeah. So your best bet would just to be allow that 17 to sit there and be pretty awesome in that one stat.
Yeah, yeah, and it says that those are required the final scores, and then later on as you level, you can increase them as normal.
Oh, wow, so they drop out that the 4 free bumps. All right, so maybe that...
Well, the 4 free bumps is really the rolling benefit.
That would be the rolling benefit. So then I could see why... Does that make your character a little bit more balanced? Probably not, though.
Not really.
No.
It's still...
No, he's still sitting on, like, a 15 and two 18s.
Yeah, two 18s, and the rest are all 13s. Well, a 13 and 11 charisma.
Oh, no.
He's dirty. He's a dirty druid.
He's a filthy druid. And Steve, where are we with your character? So you got that plus for a monk. You could choose either
strength or dexterity.
So which did you choose?
So I picked strength.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I went with it is first I get a plus 2 in constitution, wisdom, and a free one. The free one that I picked was dexterity, and I get a minus 2 to charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to pick strength or intelligence. I'm going to be punching stuff. I'm going to pick strength.
Yeah.
My free one, I decided to pick dexterity again. As my monk class states, I get strength or dexterity. We're going strength just because it looks like with the three of us, if we were actually adventure party, I have to be the upfront person being able to hit things. I am using the variant rule where I take two flaws and I can add to another ability plus.
So you would take two minus twos
yes.
to two separate stats. Again, mm-hmm. you can't be in the same bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could bump a single stat plus 2.
Yes. So my wisdom is already a 12 because I get from my race.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to take a bump, minus to that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to also take a minus to intelligence, which is, it didn't get any increases, so it's going to be an 8.
Okay.
And then I'm going to take a plus 2 to strength, which will lead me to a 16 strength, and then I'm going to apply my 4.
Yes.
My 4 is going to be strength, dex, constitution, and wisdom to that offset that minus that I took earlier. Plus, monks have really good saves, so I want to keep my saves pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
So, awesome. Really, really strong, pretty agile. You know, I'm kind of hardy. Not the toughest thing, but still, I'm not the smartest person in the drawer, and I don't look the prettiest. I got a lot of scars.
Yeah, especially just running.
Would you like to look at these scars?
No. Do you want to know how I got these scars?
No.
And the wisdom is a 12.
Is a 12. So you're looking at what, an 18, a 16,
14. 8 intelligence, 12 wisdom, and 8 charisma. So I have 2 8s, but...
That's not terrible. Just so everyone knows...
It's character.
Yeah. Most of the times, 8s are generic people.
Yeah.
Like a 16 is a college student or a grad student. An 18 is more of like, you're in your doctorates.
Or like an Olympic level athlete.
Yeah, an Olympic level athlete. So 8's a commoner. So you're like, yeah, I understand words. I've seen numbers.
That's a very common thing, though. People are like, I have an 8. I'm going to walk around like, I'm going to pick this sword up and stab myself with it to see if I'm resistant.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not how it works, guys.
A little more intelligent than that.
So you're not stupid with an 8. You're not that negative 2.
But you're not going to create the new recipe for rocket fuel.
No, definitely. You're not Albert Einstein.
You're not Hodor.
You're Hodor.
You're not Hodor.
You're not Hodor.
Hodor is probably a 6.
Probably. Yeah, he's definitely a 6. He knows how to hold the door.
Come on. He has basic functions, but not.
I hope everyone listening to this has seen Game of Thrones. You just did not spoil all of Game of Thrones. Are you serious?
I've never watched Game of Thrones.
You lying to me?
Ouch.
No, never had HBO until recently, and at that point, the hype is gone.
It's never gone.
No, you need to watch.
Everyone keeps telling me that, and I'm not affronted to it. It's
you,
just
you can't play with us until you watch it.
Sorry.
Tina just laid down the law.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
I'm not fighting Tina. She's wily. She will mess you up.
Yeah.
So, let's finish up character creation. Mm-hmm. We've now come to the final part of character creation, and that is just picking skills. How many skills do you get, Tina?
Well, the skills, they base them off of your intelligence modifier. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, when you're trying to figure out where to put those free skills, the abilities, those work. So I'm already trained in religion, mm-hmm. Plus 1 skill determined by my deity, and then 2 plus my intelligence mod.
So you would have 2?
My intelligence is at 12 right now. So
3.
Yeah.
So you would stand on 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you also get a free skill, crafting, for being a barkeep. Am I correct in that one? That was a...
You should have got one.
Yeah, you get one free skill for your background.
Yeah, I think that was... The skill feat was Hobnobber.
And that's also Hobnobber. You also get that. Mm-hmm. And after that, Steve, what free skill did you get with yours?
I actually got two free skills. I got guild lore. You usually get a lore associated with your background.
Yeah, Tina did get the alcohol lore.
Oh, yep. Well, that's right. And I also got crafting.
And you also got
crafting. And the feat that I got was specialty crafting. I don't know what it does, yeah.
Oh, so specialty crafting is a really cool feat. You can take that to craft specific things. Usually specialty crafting is not alchemical crafting. Okay. So let's make that clear. A lot of people will be like, oh, I'm going to make alchemy bombs now. You can't do that. That's a separate feat altogether. Specialty crafting is, oh, I'm a...
haberdashery.
There you go. So specialty crafting means you can be that and make hats for people. Mm-hmm. You can be really good at making hats. Or you could say, I'm a boat maker, a candlestick maker, and that's your specialty crafting. It's something vague.
Mm.
Like, you could, like, if you were building a character, a dwarf, your specialty crafting could be bacon. You make root bacon.
Oh, you'd be bacon. A popular
dwarf. Yeah, right? Like, you'd be the popular dwarf. Yes. Trevor?
I get trained in nature, trained in one skill determined by my druidic order, which I haven't picked yet. Then you get trained in a number of additional skills equal to 2 plus your intelligence modifier, which is a 13, so I get one more.
Plus one.
So I get 3. Mm-hmm. And then from my background, I get I get to pick either trained in athletics or trained in acrobatics. Mm-hmm. I rolled and I gave myself, the dice gave me athletics, which also gave you the quick jump feat.
Cool.
And then I am trained in warfare lore skill for being the marshal.
That is the craziest druid ever.
he decided to leave the army and go and
frolic
in the woods.
Jeez, that's rough.
That's rough.
Cool. So after that, back to Tina with the champion.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're looking at HP. How do we calculate HP, guys? This is kind of an important thing. So HP is calculated
on your class. It's going to tell you what your hit points are, and for like the druid, it's 8 plus your constitution modifier. So I have a very high HP starting out.
But also,
your ancestry
mm-hmm.
gives you HP also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I believe you add your ancestry plus your class plus your con.
Correct.
You always add your con. The first time you create a character, you get that HP from your ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
Past level 1, you only get it from your class and your con. You don't get it from your ancestry anymore.
Correct.
Which I like because I do find 2nd edition to be a little bit more dangerous than 1st edition. A lot of the, especially with the 3 actions, you can wind up having like 4 kobolds on you. And all of a sudden that tanky character goes down mm-hmm. because they've just taken a ton of hits.
Yeah.
Or a swarm, right? Swarms are awesome. You just get terrible. By a bunch of swarms. Like a swarm hits a character and the character can go down.
Like last week.
Yeah, like last week.
Any DM that wants to be evil and you throw swarms at some of your casters that don't have any area spells, bye guys.
Yeah.
And that's really the benefit, kind of going back and forth, where we're saying that casters seem to be less powerful than martial classes, but martial classes can only attack one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have spellcasters have that one spell where everyone goes to sleep. Save or lose spells. Yeah. Or everyone takes tons of damage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a trade-off.
Yeah. So, Tina, what's your HP?
Well, with the halfling, and then for champion, you get a 10 plus your con. And mm-hmm. since I put all those abilities into con, I have a 19.
Wow.
As a halfling, that's not bad.
That's not bad. You are a tough little halfling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're a tough two.
I'm not that strong, but I'm tough.
It's that internal fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your saves? What do those look like?
Expert in fortitude, trained in reflex, and expert in will. So you get 2 experts right off the back.
Wow, that's really good. And as expert for you in fortitude, that's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to get you sick. You're going to be like, oh, I'm going to eat this 3-week-old bread.
The monkfish.
Yeah, eat some monkfish.
The hagfish in Sandport.
Steve, what are we looking at for HP?
My HP is 22.
Wow.
Dwarves get 10.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Monks also get 10, and I have a +2 con.
There you go.
And also, this isn't considered what feats we might take Someone might take toughness, get a little bit extra health.
Toughness is always a great, especially for cleric and monk. Toughness would be amazing.
Barbarian has it.
Yeah, barbarian does have it.
Yes.
Trevor, what's your HP looking like?
The druid, I'm a gnome, so that's an 8. Mm-hmm. The druid gets an 8, and then my constitution modifier is a 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at a 20.
Nice.
That's
this character is sick. I would love
never,
to play him.
We are never playing with these characters
never,
ever.
He's never allowed to be played in the game.
That's the druid Keiko is going to meet in her next city.
They're gonna have babies together, I think.
Oh, they're both gnomes. That's right.
The gnomes and druids.
And druids. Oh, yeah. Super
druids. What order? We might have to fight.
Probably going to be a wild order because he seems real, a very physical character, so he's going to be fighting a lot.
There you go. It's not that kind of campaign, guys. Everything just fades to black whenever we get to that situation. So, at this point in class creation, we've all made characters.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone over how to register your HP. We've gone over how to, you know, place your stats in all three different fields. We've done rolling. We've done the standard. And then we had Steve do the variant, which is really awesome.
There's one more thing. The thing that we skipped over
mm-hmm.
is based on your ancestry, you get a level 1 ancestry feat, which kind of gives you a direction of where you came from before you were an adventurer.
Mm-hmm.
And your heritage.
And your heritage. Mm-hmm. And those we're not going to talk about, only because we want players to buy the book.
Yes.
And we're going to leave those as a surprise for the general populace.
And I will say to you guys that the book, when you look at it, especially if you see it physically, it is a big book.
Mm-hmm.
It can seem to be very intimidating, but it's actually not. It's just that the Paizo was very thorough.
Yes.
And so don't get intimidated by the look of the book and say, oh my God, this thing is too big. I can't learn this. It's actually a very simple system. It's just that there's a lot of stuff, a lot of options for you guys to pick. So don't be afraid to try because the book is big, but that's because they give you a lot of stuff. And you're paying for it, so why don't you get your money's worth?
Yeah, exactly. I feel they did not remove the crunchiness of first edition into second edition. They've kind of limited it, but you could still make very interesting characters, as you can see from all three options. We have a very tough halfling, we have an extraordinarily tough monk, and we have basically a cheating character.
the crazy druid.
The crazy druid. But you can see how you have characters that don't fit. Like, no one, I feel like in 3.5, you know, first edition Pathfinder, you wouldn't see the halfling paladin because it just didn't make sense. They didn't have the right numbers to put them there. Yeah, if you were going crazy and you didn't really care. Like, my first character was a gnome ranger, and I just didn't care. You know, but you wouldn't see the dwarf monk, and you wouldn't see the halfling. You would probably see
the picture is a gnome druid,
so it's kind of telling you something there. But how do you feel about that, guys? How do you feel about character creation in second edition?
It's good. It's especially, you know, you're working on one character at a time, so you really don't need to ingest the entire book at once. You can kind of just look at the classes that you're interested or just browse through. Especially, I know we're not going through heritages, but those are like a nice flavor just to, like, when you get the book, do explore those because those do give you some extra skills or boosts or just fun things to play around with. So it's definitely, like, you can either min-max it or you can base it on role-playing. There's a lot of different directions you can take this when you're creating your character to keep other things in mind. So it's fun.
Steve?
Yeah, they really took the ease of the difficulty of making a character from the beginning to your final version of a finished first-level character. So something that was pretty daunting to something that was, I can do this in about 15, 20 minutes. If I know what I want.
Oh, yeah. We totally could have just sat down and made characters and banged this out in about 20 minutes. But we did do an hour. We also went over other stuff.
Yeah.
And
Talking about something that Trevor went over, the interesting thing about the way they've laid out the book, it is a large book, but some of these pages are just a beautiful full-color art
Love
piece.
It.
Oh, yeah.
And they also tried to spread out the information to where it's not just throwing tons of numbers at you. They really utilized sidebars to great effect where you want to play a monk, look at the sidebar. These are all things you get. A lot of the other stuff is fluff and a couple of decisions you can make, but that sidebar is just the exact details you need to get going.
Well, the fact that they have examples, like, throughout all of the class pages, they have examples of different kinds. So if you really have no idea, you can just copy-paste and be like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in each class, you could flip. And I remember seeing, like, these really cool characters.
The art is gorgeous, by the way. You guys really should check it out. Yeah.
So, if you flip over, you'll see they've made up a Storm Druid. And you could just literally just play
it
that.
It has the abilities, the skills, all that's already listed. And,
And there's, I think there's three per character class.
Yeah. So you'll always get the three wizard, sorcerers, and druids all have more than three kind of subclasses.
I think they all do. Like, barbarians have more than three.
They gave it a lot of variety. I think the only one is really the rogue.
And the rogue has the three rackets.
Yeah.
And the champion is either lawful good, neutral good, chaotic good. Bailey would clearly be chaotic good.
We were even talking about that before, where we can even see the other three, like a champion for every alignment.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Eventually coming out in some sort of book.
Yeah, neutral paladin. You know, I'm not sure.
If you're doing lawful, they do still call that paladin. Neutral good is a redeemer, and then a chaotic good is a liberator.
Yeah.
So if you still want to, be like, you know, OG paladin that is still here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like that you can still have three people play. If theoretically you could have three people play the same character, the same class, and it would be completely different. So you can take different routes, and you could still have, they'll have some overlap, but there's definitely some differences. There are three different, very different druids that you can go. So I do like that. You could, even if everyone's like, oh, I want to play a druid. Well, that's fine, because there's different routes that you can take with your druid, so you can make your characters your own still.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And just so that everyone knows, the Lost Omens guide, if you're listening to this before it comes out, I believe it comes out the 28th of this month, of August. Didn't make that clear. But they're in the player's guide coming out following that, they will be releasing three new ancestries. The Lizard Folk, or they have a special name, the Leashy? Which is a druid plant creature that they could get, is now going to be an actual player class.
I am Groot.
I'm Groot.
I am Groot.
And the third one is, I forget.
Is it the Catfolk? That's not the Catfolk.
No, the Catfolk are coming out in the other.
With the Asimar and the Tiefling.
I can't wait for that expo.
Yeah, I mean, Zach's going to lose his mind a little bit. But they are releasing ancestries. Mm-hmm. So that's just going to make your characters going to be so much more different. So you could theoretically all play humans. I mean, humans are kind of the mostly optimal race to pick. But you could totally have, like, a lizard folk bard. I'm not sure what he would sing about. Probably, like, swamp things, but
I would say, because you mentioned that they said humans are the most optimal, I would even say that there's less of a statistical difference between the heritage or the ancestries in this edition than there's ever been. In older editions, the humans get a free feat, and they still get a free feat in this, but what the other races get is that gap is very small.
It's balanced a lot better than the previously. Like, I want to see what happens with the Asimar, because Asimar used to be like, people wouldn't even let you play them because they were so overpowered. So I'm sure that with the changes that they have and the balancing that they have, it's going to be great to see what they do have going forward, because I love playing an Asimar, but a lot of people wouldn't let you play them because they were so overpowered. And if you had someone who was an Asimar and you had a human, there's definitely some differences in the two races. So
yeah, I'm super excited to see what, like, Tina comes up with, because she's always coming to the table with, like, really different characters every time.
Some sort of cat person.
Is the cat person the next one coming?
Hello, kitty.
Crazy cat lady.
Well, this is what happens when you get, you know, people who are new to this. And you know, I like I've said in the other podcast, I've only been playing this for about a year. So without having any, like, notions of, like, other classes and how everything works, you just come fresh to the table. Like, I can do anything, and your imagination just goes wild, and you can make it. So it's fun. I enjoy it.
I feel like we're going to see a Descendant kind of, Maleficent character when the witch drops. I feel like I'm going to get that text message like, hey, Keiko's leaving and this witch is coming.
A tiefling witch.
A tiefling witch. You get those nice horns.
Yeah, be all Maleficent.
Yeah, be all black.
She's going to be a dragon one day, so, I mean, you don't know. If she lives.
So, closing statements from around the table?
Yeah, I think that just make sure that you give it a try. You know, the worst thing that can happen is it doesn't work for you, but make sure you reach out to other people, and once you get the book, ask for help. You can go online. Facebook has so many groups. You can contact us, and you can send us an email to our Nothing Venture, Nothing Gain podcast at gmail.com, and you can ask us questions, and we'll answer them online. And but yeah, just reach out to people. Don't be afraid. And again, gaming is all about groups and having fun and being social. So just give it a try. The worst case scenario is that you don't like it.
Also, just kind of, I mean, we went in the ABC order, but don't feel, you know, like you're locked into those. You can always go back and forth, because sometimes you have some abilities in one, and there's other abilities in another that kind of compensate for it, or you can stack them. So you don't necessarily, you can kind of help determine where you put your modifiers and everything. And yeah, definitely, like, talk to your group, because if you want to have a little bit of everything in your party, then you can kind of talk, okay, who's going to be the caster, who's going to, you know, deal out the damage, who's going to heal. If you just want to surprise each other, that's fine, but then you might end up with a bunch of people with the same abilities. So, you know, talk to your party about what kind of characters you want to play and what you want your team to look like, and then just kind of go from there.
Four human fighters. That's what four human fighters. That's great, guys.
Well, I feel like you could totally do that. Like, you could have, like,
and they'd all still be different, yeah.
Yeah, they could all be very, very, very different.
Still would be rough, though. Throw anything magic at them.
Yeah, it would be a lot of battle medics.
Again, what kind of game do you want to play? You got to figure that out. Yeah.
And even to the point we didn't go exactly based on the steps of the book, because sometimes you just have an idea of what you want to make, mm-hmm. and that will help guide your decisions on what you want and what you want to pick and which stats you want, what answers the background, and that helps you along. But sometimes just playing something simple, just get that human fighter, get that big sword, play a barbarian, rage, kill everything. If it's your first time, it doesn't really matter. Just have fun.
Yep. I agree. I think we've hit some really great notes, and there we go. And I hope everyone out there tries to make something interesting. Mm-hmm. Come up with some crazy characters, get on those tables, get those dice rolling, and definitely give second edition a chance. It's not as difficult as you would think.
Definitely not.
So again, coming to you from Long Island Podcast Studios in Belmore, this is Nothing Ventured, Nothing Gamed. Say goodnight, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Bye.